New Jersey Governor Chris Christie hopes Frank Newport's on target regarding presidential polling this far out from February primaries. Let's look at the Christie campaign with WNYC reporter and longtime Christie tracker Matt Katz. Matt, thanks for joining us once again.
You got it, Dave.
Trump is having the least effect on fellow frontrunners Jeb Bush and Scott Walker. It's the rest of the 15-person field that's fallen back, and I presume that includes Chris Christie.
It's hard to specifically say, but we do know that Trump is definitely sucking a lot of the oxygen out of this Republican primary room. I guess it was 2 weeks ago now that Christie announced, and this is correlating with the time in which this Trump boomlet has happened. So in that sense, it's taken attention away from Christie, and that has to bother his people.
So let's talk about criminal justice reform, and even that as a topic. It's not that Christie had the entire dialogue to himself. Obviously, President Obama's address at the NAACP annual convention in Philly, and then yesterday the president visited a federal penitentiary. John Boehner is publicly saying we need to look at this issue. Rand Paul, the Koch brothers. How does Chris Christie distinguish his account on this substantive issue?
He was U.S. attorney for 7 years, so he actually has experience being a law enforcement official. So he falls back on that, and he has some anecdotes to use in that regard. But still, this issue now that everybody seems to be on the same page on, I don't really see how he actually wins votes on it in a primary, just because now everybody just seems to be agreeing that the war on drugs failed and that we need to try something new. And his proposals aren't that radical. He's not talking about, you know, decriminalizing marijuana. In fact, he wants to, you know, crack down on states that have decriminalized marijuana. So he's more talking about just changing the way the judicial system handles drug offenders, particularly nonviolent drug offenders. That's the crux of his plan.
Matt, how important is it for Christie to prevail or do very well in New Hampshire? Of course, that's 1 week after the Iowa caucus, where I can't imagine his record would be well received.
They don't expect to win Iowa. Then they go to New Hampshire. And then after New Hampshire is South Carolina, which nobody really expects him to win. So he really needs to win New Hampshire.
Is this a very different field and time from 4 years ago when Christie was perhaps anticipated as a viable number two candidate? Could that be in the cards for him this time around?
I don't know what he would necessarily bring to a ticket. He doesn't, you know, bring a state. There's a concern that he might outshine the top person at the ticket. I guess it's possible. I just don't necessarily see that as plausible. I mean, if we're going to, you know, game out how this might work for him if he doesn't get the nomination, I guess attorney general is a possibility. He was a U.S. attorney, which is part of the Justice Department. So running the Justice Department seems like a plausible career option for him. Of course, he still has some legal issues that are being worked through. So that might be a complication in that regard. But I would almost bet on AG before I would bet on VP.
Matt, let the record duly note, you are our number one. Thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thanks, Dave. You can be my VP if it ever comes to that.
WNYC reporter and longtime Christie tracker Matt Katz on Newsworks tonight. Well, lots of noise, but little news regarding progress this week to break the Pennsylvania state budget impasse. Let's catch up with WHYY's Mary Wilson. Mary, thanks for joining us again on Newsworks tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Mary, Bucks County Republican Representative Gene DiGirolamo chairs the House's Human Services Committee, and he put out a plan this week. It features a new severance tax on natural gas drillers and a higher personal income tax. Did those tax hikes come with the blessing of his party's leadership?
I believe the quote from the House GOP spokesman was that the caucus is always interested in the ideas of its members, but there's been no commitment to take that proposal and run with it, no.
What happens next?
That's a great question. I've been told that budget talks, at least with the governor himself, will probably wait until Tuesday afternoon at the earliest. The governor's going to be in Western PA for the beginning part of the week. But there might be staff-level talks. There is no indication that I've seen so far that suggests there is an imminent deal. And I don't know where one would begin right now.
Bereft of a deal, who's getting hurt now and how will the chips fall in weeks to come?
Well, state employees are still being paid. The state still has the authority to make those payments. but the state cannot pay for contracts and for things that go to local governments. Local governments like the counties might be paying for various human services. So those will go unpaid. So things like foster care residences and services for drug and alcohol addiction programs, services for the homeless and the needy, those services will start to run out of funding. I have already seen nonprofit organizations start to sound an alarm about how in mid-August they're going to be hurting for money. This budget impasse comes on the heels of years of level or reduced funding to these kinds of social services. So they're going to start to get pretty concerned here. And the other group that might be concerned are the school districts that have less in reserve. And if they don't get their August state subsidy, they may have trouble meeting their expenses.
Put this in some perspective. To what extent is this, for better or worse, business as usual in Pennsylvania? Or is this now 2+ week impasse really going beyond the bounds of what typically happens?
Well, Pennsylvania has had late budgets before. This is not new in nature. The one thing that I think is interesting about this year is that it'll be the first year in recent memory that one of the pressure points on lawmakers has been taken away. In 2009, a state budget impasse meant state employees were not paid, and the unions took the state to court over that. They said you cannot call these employees to work and then make them endure payless paydays. So now state employees are paid. There are no longer thousands of workers angrily going without paychecks and still showing up for work every day. One of the pressure points is gone. The new earliest pressure point is going to come from these groups we've already discussed, these nonprofits, local governments, and maybe even school districts. And it'll be interesting to see how long it takes them to start applying pressure to the legislature and whether they're effective in spurring some sort of negotiated budget deal.
Citing those school groups specifically, it might take till closer to Labor Day before that effect is felt.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
Mary, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you, Dave.
WHYY's Mary Wilson.